Attitude is the mind's paintbrush. It can color any situation. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the thought for today. Attitude is the mind's paintbrush. It can color any situation. According to Lauren Farcier, don't know who he is or sounds interesting. Attitude is the mind's paintbrush. It can color any situation. We all have attitudes that are constantly pushing us this way and that way. We have attitudes of happiness and attitudes of sadness. And we have attitudes of success and attitudes of non-success. And we wonder why we are successful. And really, people who are successful don't wonder why they're successful. They just think about being successful all the time. They just have ideas and they push them through and they know they can. People who are unsuccessful are people who take attitudes that they can't do it. They have attitudes that they don't have the talent, they don't have the training, they don't know how. I'm constantly working on attitude here at the monastery, at the University of Healing, because it seems that so many people here feel that they have the right to do anything with their attitude that they wish. And that's not the case. Anybody in my world who says they can't do something is out of my world. Anybody in my world who says there's an impossibility is out of my world. Anybody who complains is out of my world. Anybody who is sorry for themselves is out of my world. And you say, my goodness, you must have a lot of people out of your world. No, I have a lot of people in my world. I have the successful people in my world who color their situation with a positive attitude, no matter what it may be. We were trying to turn on the computer this morning, and it didn't go on. And I said, what seemed to be the problem with it? And I don't know. Well, now, that phrase is not acceptable. That phrase is not acceptable in any way, shape, or form. I don't know. Now, this is not the first time I say it. This is a continuing thing, but you cannot say, I don't know. You may not know at the moment to be able to put it in words, but you say, I'll check it out. I will investigate. I will find out the way to make this start. And if you say you don't know, then tuk, you're already coloring it with the possibility that you don't know, that it's going to be hard, it's going to be difficult. I was putting together my screen for my computer the other day, and I was moving things around, and I wired the cords in the back of the monitor so that they wouldn't come out. I put a piece of wire around it to hold it in place. Well, it didn't work. And the computer, the monitor didn't work, and I thought, what is going on here? So we investigated all the possibilities, never once thinking that the plug on the back of the computer might be out, which it was, because I had been moving it around. And then I decided, well, before I take it back to the company, I'm going to check the back of the computer, the monitor. So I pulled off the back plates, looking for a fuse. Of course, there's no fuse there. But the cord was just dangling there, not plugged in. Somehow, it had been pulled by me, and the cord came out. So I put the cord back in, and the monitor worked just fine. You see, it's sometimes such a simple little thing that we don't know. So when you contact, troubleshoot to the company, and you get on the troubleshoot for putting the computer together and doing all the little things, one of the first questions they ask you, which is one of the most stupid questions anyone could ever be asked, did you plug it in? Did you plug it in? are your plugs all firmly in their sockets? Because, you know, with gadgets, you have plugs in, plugs out. For instance, this little microphone that I'm working with here, this recorder, it has a plug that goes into the internet. It has a plug that goes into the power. And it also has little switches all over it. And if you don't hold it by the bottom, you're liable to be pushing these switches and turning it off. We had Sam Sasso here, and we had him give a couple of talks. And I said, Sam, hold it just by the bottom here, just by the bottom. Because I didn't have time to teach him all about the buttons. And it didn't work one time. And he had accidentally pressed one of these buttons and turned it off. It's so easy to do, especially if you're not familiar with it and you think this is just like any other gadget. It just has a simple arrangement. But again, if any button, all you have to do is look on the front of the tape recorder here. And this should be another word for this, recorder, just recorder. There's a little red light. And if you're recording, the red light is on. Now, if that red light is not on, you're not recording. And you should look from time to time to see if the red light's on, especially if you're waving your little recorder around in your hand, as we do, because it's so small. It's like a cellular phone. And it works just beautiful. But if that red light's not on, you're not recording, no matter what you think, no matter what you did. Somewhere you did something that turned it off. Now, you don't know, but you do know. You see, if we are going to go by the statement, there's a law of cause and effect. If we're going to go by the statement, nothing happens by chance. There are no accidents. Then, if someone turns it off by accident, it was not by accident, it was by purpose. By purpose, and it was. They pressed the button. Now, do they consciously press the button or unconsciously? They consciously press the button because you cannot do anything unconsciously. You can be aware of things unconsciously, but you can't do anything unconsciously. It is a conscious act of pressing the button to do something to the recorder. So, why did you do that? Why did you do that? I don't know. You sure do know. You sure do know. You did that because you wanted to start over. You wanted to perhaps not have that be recorded because that wasn't really what you wanted to say. Or whatever. Or maybe someone in the background made a comment that wasn't salubrious with what you were doing and you wanted to leave that out. So you said, we'll do it over again. It's real easy to do it over again. But the big thing is, nothing happens by chance. And our attitude is what makes things happen. And when your attitude is feeling sorry for yourself, when your attitude is feeling that you're not getting the right justification for what you're doing, that you're not appreciated, then you're down. And everybody says, oh, gee, they're not very happy. And would you like to have people think that you're happy or that you're not happy? No. What difference does it make to you what people think? Well, it makes a difference to you how you act, because everything you do is going to be predicated on how you act. Now, if you want to have an attitude of unhappiness, here's what happens. Your body responds in like measure. Your body turns off the enzymes that are flowing out of your various things in your body that bring out the enzyme, they cease to function. Your body, the adrenaline ceases to flow. All these things cease to flow. And pretty soon you're lower and lower and lower. And if you would say the word, I am dead, you'd be dead. It's as simple as that. Because we color everything in our life with our attitude. And what sort of attitude do you want for yourself? What sort of attitude do you want? I get after you and get after you and get after you and get after you. And I say, please don't say I don't know. Please don't say I can't. Please don't say these things. Please don't. You're empowering them. You're empowering them. You're empowering them to do something that you say you don't want to do. Obviously, you don't want to know it when you say, I don't know. If you say, that's interesting, let's check into that. Yes, that's a good idea. I hadn't thought of it that way. Yes, that's a good way to think about something, you know. And then go for it. But the minute you say, I can't, end of the show. You're fired. If you can't do it, you're not going to be given that job, are you? If you can't do it, I can't do it. Okay, let somebody else sit down and do it. If you can't see the television, well then go in the other room, you know. And there are some people, well, you know, husbands and wives are really powerful people. They're sitting together on the couch watching TV. And the wife says to herself, I'd rather cuddle. And so, all of a sudden, the TV doesn't work. And the husband doesn't know why the TV doesn't work. He goes over there and he presses the buttons and he does the things. And they're sitting on the couch and she says, well, since the TV doesn't work, let's just cuddle, you know. And so they cuddle and they enjoy each other. And he has no idea that she has put a cause in motion that the TV doesn't work. Now, you smile at this, you laugh at this, you think, surely not, but it happens all the time, all the time. And sometimes it even happens serious. I am a great one to put causes in motion very physically. I've had different people who were distracted by things, and all of a sudden the things disappeared that were distracting them. All of a sudden, the things didn't work anymore that were distracting them. I have been known to take a spark plug out of an engine. I have been known to take a tube out of a radio or out of a TV or something, you know. Well, I know many little techniques of disabling something when it is a distraction.
We know that.
And I don't tell anybody about it.
Yeah.
And if they want to go and figure it out, bless their heart. But the thing is it more important for them to figure out the distraction or to figure out the thing that is beneficial to them? And this is the test. Well, it was on, so I watched it. It was this, so I did it. It was that, so I was there. But that's not what we want to do. We want to be the master of ourselves. We want to have the right attitude about everything. And I know we've had so many things in our life where the attitude has been not beneficial. And then we wondered why. And in our slow-paced world, we say, why is it that it cannot be made right away? Why is it the healing has to take a week, 2 weeks, 6 weeks, or 6 months? You know, broken legs and stuff like that. Why is it a cold takes so long? Why is it it takes so long to get somebody's attention? A boy may court a girl. You know what that means? Court a girl? It's a word that isn't used too often now. But a boy may court a girl and bring her flowers and show her how much he likes her and take her for walks and so forth. I've never figured out what they do in the movies. I don't think they watch the movie. But they go places, and they do things, and they get to know each other, and they get to like each other. The boy doesn't just go up to her and say, hey, I'm going to kiss you, and she whacks him, you know. No, he goes up to her and he says, you know, it seems like we're both interested in the same thing. What do you know about so-and-so, you know? And pretty soon they start a conversation, you know. In the old days, they used to take someone along who knew the other person to introduce you. Jane, this is my friend John. John is a buddy of mine. We've been going to school together and doing things, and he's with me. Let's take a walk. So Jane and John and Paul go take a walk together, and John and Jane are talking together, and pretty soon Paul disappears. I gotta run to an errand. I'll see you guys later, you know. And so he matched the guys, put them together, gave them an opportunity to be together. But that's what it used to be in the old days, you know. You write a letter, would Miss Jones be pleased with with going out with me on Saturday afternoon, you know, who the hell are you, you know? And she doesn't know. And so she writes back, who the hell are you? No, she writes back, I would be interested in hearing about you, who you are, and so forth, you know. And so then the boy says, oh, I come from good parents. My parents are Mr. and Mrs. Jones, the banker, you know. And my mother is on the board of supervisors, and my sister is this, and my brother is that, you know, and I play guitar and whatever. But, you know, attitude is all that makes up the world. And if the girl is interested in finding a beautiful guy in her life, and the guy is interested in finding a beautiful girl in his life, the attitude that they have will open the doors for them. Their friend or friends will introduce them to the people that are harmonious with them. And did you ever have a friend who introduced you to someone that was rotten? No, because a friend doesn't have rotten friends. They introduce you to someone who is quality, who is beautiful. Well, how do the rotten people get introduced? Well, they have rotten friends. But we don't worry about that. It's all attitude, all attitude. And I will say to you again and again and again, please do not say, I don't know. Do not say, I can't. That's an attitude that will have no repercussion for you except opposing whatever it is you say you want to do. Of course, we have to wake up. Maybe we don't want to do it. Maybe we really don't want to do the very thing that we say we want to do. And if that's the case, then we shouldn't play games with ourselves. We should recognize that we don't want to do it. And there's nothing wrong with that. We have freedom of choice to do anything we want in this world. And our attitude makes us successful in that. It colors the entire picture. We say, oh, golly, look at those flowers. And you look at them from a distance, you say, aren't they beautiful? And your attitude makes you think they're the most glorious in the world. And then something sad happens in your life. And you go over and look at the flowers again, you see all the little dead buds here and there, and you see all the little imperfections in it. Whereas before, when your attitude was harmonious and happy, you only saw the glorious plant in its glory, you know. We are in charge of our world by using our attitude. Now, how are you using your attitude? Are you using your attitude to accomplish your goal in life? Or are you using your attitude to defeat your goal? And of course, if you're defeating your goal, then you really don't want that goal. So everything that you do, everywhere that you go, every idea that you have in mind, have the attitude that I can, I can, I can. Princess Di went before the people, and she was a commoner, so she knew about being common. And she also was a princess, and she knew about being a princess, because I'm sure they gave her certain lessons in the castle about being a princess. And she surrounded herself with everyone. She didn't feel superior to anybody or inferior to anybody. She just was herself and being fun, having fun. And everywhere she went, the people loved her. Why?
Because she loved herself.
Because she was being herself. She loved herself. She was being herself. She wasn't trying to be something for somebody else. Her attitude was, I am a nice person. I am a good person. I like me. I mean, what a wonderful attitude to have for anybody, you know. I like me. And then all the world liked her. Now, Queen Mother, she feels she's the queen and she's better than everybody else because she has this role to play. Well, Princess Di hadn't gotten to that point yet. Maybe never would. But she liked herself. And so she poured that out. And that's beautiful. People say, I'm exceedingly rich and I want to get married, but I don't want to marry a gold digger, someone who wants my money only. Well, he will marry gold diggers. Mm-hmm. Now, if someone who is exceedingly rich and wants to marry someone who loves them for themselves, then they will go out and be themselves. Maybe themselves is spending a lot of money. Maybe themselves is living modestly. But whatever they are, they are. Now, you're going to attract somebody in your world, create somebody in your world, who is equal to who you are. And if you are Mr. Rich, spending money just so generously, then you're going to have some lovely lady in your life who wants to spend money generously. Bill Gates sort of solved his problem. His wife was not as wealthy as he was, but his wife had many millions of dollars because she worked for his company and built up her estate, and she was a wealthy woman in her own right. And so when he married her, she didn't marry him to get his money, she might have, and he didn't marry her to get her money. They each had sufficient because they each could live however they wished. And then they went on from there in loving each other. And it seems to all outward reports, and we don't have too many, that he has a very happy marriage. And he has lovely children. Obviously, they're working together, producing their family, and that's quite nice. But his attitude is, I think Bill Gates' attitude is, I like me. Mm-hmm. You can always tell it by that silly little smile he has on his face almost all the time. He's, I don't care if the thing drops or goes up or down, but I want it to be right. Mm-hmm. I want it to be right. I'm not interested in making it right at the expense of hurting somebody. I'm not interested in making it right at the expense of taking away from others. I want to just give, give, give. And if we could make ourselves go through life just give, give, giving, with an attitude of giving, everything would be colored roses for us. And of course, if you don't like roses, then lilacs or petunias or something else, but whatever pleases you. So remember that. It's a good statement. Attitude is the mind's paintbrush. It can color any situation. So now you all have a lovely day and have a lovely attitude. And remember that I love you very much. I love you. I love you. I love you.